You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Can we please identify the ding that goes on in this building at the top of every hour all of a sudden?
What's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't know where the doorbell sound came from, but I can tell you that it makes me want to work from home.
Does it go over the air?
No. See, I thought it was just something that they incorporated here in the newsroom until the other night I was leaving and right at 6 o'clock, and I was downstairs, and as I'm pushing to go out the door, I hear dong dong.
But it's on every floor at the top of the hour.
Exactly at the top of the hour.
To the second.
I think there's an engineer in the building who's probably chuckling a little bit.
Right, I am. Yes, I am emailing him right now. Ding dong. Why is there a ding and a dong at the top of the hour? We'll see what he says.
at 5 o'clock, because we.
I don't need someone reminding me with a ding dong. It's 4 o'clock.
But I want you to hear.
You know why I know it's 4 o'clock? Because my butt's got to be back in the seat.
Well, no, but we go to break right before the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And then Dan comes in and starts it right at the top of the hour. At 5 o'clock, like 4:59:50, go out in the newsroom and you will hear it as soon as it hits 5:00:00, you'll hear ding dong.
Is it a pleasant ding dong?
It is pleasant.
Mildly nostalgic because it's the classic ding dong sound.
Okay, why? When I see Dan across from me in the news booth, guess what?
That means we're about to go to the top of the hour.
I know it's the top of the hour.
I think he just found a little setting somewhere in the system in the building and said, and
you mean
click the box? yeah. So he might be chuckling.
And again, I'm not saying it's not a pleasant little sound. It just catches me off guard when I hear it.
I think somebody's at
weird.
The door.
Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Okay, we are going to start with a little bit of a serious topic here. And Sam, check your email. I want you to play something. And then we're going to talk about Macy's, and it will all come together seamlessly, despite the fact that you're looking at me like I'm crazy. I see the look on your face. I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yes,
it will all make sense in just a moment. And Dan, stick around. I want to know what you think about this. Kansas City is reviving, that is their words in the Kansas City Star. They are reviving overdose victims using AI in an anti-fentanyl campaign. And you remember the just say no to drugs did not work. You remember this is your brain.
This is your brain on drugs.
Any questions? Yeah. What they have done now, and the mayor, I think, partnered or the city did with Barclay and Evergreen. It's an interesting ad campaign. Is they have taken actual AI of actual fentanyl overdose victims. So it is their face. It is their voice. And they are saying in this ad, hi, I'm Jaden. Hi, I'm Victor. They are no longer with us.
Oh, they're dead.
They are deceased. All three died from a fentanyl overdose and they have been, quote, brought back.
Oh, this is eerie.
For this ad with artificial intelligence to be the spokespeople for Kansas City's newest fentanyl awareness campaign. Can we play it, Sam?
Still can't believe I'm dead. It wasn't even someone who took drugs, but somehow I died from fentanyl. I got in a car wreck a month before and was in a lot of pain. So a friend gave me a pill, said it'd help on my back. What I didn't know, no one knew, was that there was fentanyl in it. But now I'm gone because I didn't know. I don't want what happened to me to be what my kids remember. Didn't even get to meet my youngest son, Ramonte. But maybe they can remember that I tried to help someone else.
Okay, Sam, stop it there.
That is effective.
It is. I have the chills.
Sort of
powerful.
It is powerful. There is no way they did this without the permission of those three young men's families. Of course, the families, you know, we're going to use an image of,
right, of
your
course.
Son as if he is still alive. And the ad stops. He's sitting at a kitchen table saying, I'm so-and-so. The ad stops. It's just an empty chair. Because he is dead. And you heard him say, I got in a car wreck. My back hurt. A buddy gave me a pill to help with the pain. It had fentanyl in it. And now I'm no longer here. You can find the ad at unfinishedlegacies.com. And I do think it's powerful.
The story in the Star credits an ad agency here in town.
I said Barkley and Evergreen. It's Barkley OKRP. Have they changed Barkley and Evergreen? But yes, an ad agency was in charge of this. It is brilliant. But my question, as always, is where does it end? Would those have been his words?
Well,
I'm sure that anyone that is in that situation, their families would tell you they would give anything to give that moment back when you took that pill that you didn't know had fentanyl in it.
Sure.
Or you took drugs and you didn't know the drugs were laced with fentanyl. I think of the three men up in the Northland.
Right. But would those be their words? No, I don't know. But as long as they have the family's permission, and I'm sure they do.
According to the text on the screen of the ad, they do.
Okay. But I would bet that this young man, who sadly lost his life, if he could come back, for 10 minutes, would say, yes, I want those to be my words.
Yeah.
I want
what I would do to give that minute back.
Yeah, and maybe through my death and through this advertisement, maybe I'll save one life.
We have seen campaigns in the past where they would use an actor to play the role of a recently deceased person to try and convey that same type of message. Of course, would be the very first time I've ever seen anything like this.
I'll tell you this, though. Is this going to be on television, or do you just have to go to a website?
Listen to this. They actually premiered this at the Gem Theater at the 18th and Vine District last night. It says, in Kansas City's 18th and Vine Gem Theater last night, three people under the age of 25 appeared on the screen. Jaden Anderson, Victor Mamalejo, and Jordan Colburn. All three died from a fentanyl overdose. It is extraordinarily powerful.
Yes.
And we've had these conversations, Scott.
Listen to me.
Can we start doing this in cinema, in film, in advertising? The image and the likeness of someone who is either fake or is no longer here.
Is that a different one that you were about to play?
That was the last 30 seconds of it. It's a 90-second ad.
I see.
The where do you draw the line is it for nefarious intent or not? I mean, if you're using AI to create, we go back to the topic in the fourth segment of the last hour, a naughty film of someone who never filmed themselves doing something not safe for work, and then that is distributed to smear that person, maybe cause a divorce, wreck a family, make them lose their job, whatever it may be, that's obviously a line that we cannot cross with this technology, but it will be exploited to do that.
That line has already been crossed.
Oh, many times.
Huh. Here's where I think we could start crossing a line. The one that Sam used is the most obvious, of course. But what about, let's say, I'm trying to think of an actor who's recently passed. Let's just take Betty White, for example, because she passed a couple of years ago. Betty White's family gives a movie producer permission to use her likeness, her voice, and basically bring Betty White back in a movie, and the family then profits.
And to me, for profit or gain, you would have to have the actor's permission prior to death. And we're starting to see that, where actors will say, it's okay to use my voice for certain things, and maybe you set up those parameters once I am gone for a public service announcement, okay? Mm-hmm. But to profit, I just don't, we're not there yet. I don't think we have a wide enough understanding of where this is going or what this could mean. Right. I think this is an incredibly powerful ad to try and shake young people and adults.
Sure.
Shake them, physically shake them and say, one pill can kill.
And what impact will this have on the future of the political landscape in this country?
Well, there's another adverse effect that this could have. And we've already seen.
There was an example of it through a phone call,
That's correct. Where
One candidate was urging people, you don't need to go out and vote. Let's just say what it is.
It was they were AI generating Joe Biden's voice and, you know, robocalling, telling registered Democrat, I believe it was in Vermont or New Hampshire.
Don't go vote. We don't need you to vote.
You don't need to vote today. We've already got this in the bag.
So when we get back, I will add not just politically, also think internationally, politically, mm-hmm. where this could go. And then on top of that, advertising. And that gets us back to Macy's. I mentioned Macy's, and something I noticed that seemed a little off and a little odd in an ad the other day. Does this get rid of the model? Do we need models anymore, Scott?
Tell us what you saw at Macy's.
I'll tell you when we get back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Coming up right after 5 o'clock, it is Festivus Friday. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. No, this is not the Beach Boys. This is an AI-generated song.
It's funny.
Now,
it's
very funny. Now, this, of course, is a joke made by somebody on the internet who isn't profiting off of it because it's just a YouTube video that I play for my own personal enjoyment. However, if you remember correctly, one of the greatest country music artists of all time, who has passed, released a song earlier this year. His family signed with the record label saying, you can use the likeness of this legend to create this song.
Yep.
That is not Randy Travis. Sounds like him.
It's a computer.
That is a computer.
So I was trying to buy a coat the other night and I flirted around on Amazon for a while. And then I went to my Macy's.com and I knew the type of coat I wanted, like the length. And so, you know, you can put like parameters on your search and you get back like 1,238 coats. And I'm scrolling. No, don't like that one. Scrolling. What I noticed is in all of the squares, if you show all of the results at once, I am almost positive those were not models wearing the coats.
Okay, really? Hold on really quick. I made a...
Yeah, Randy Travis is still alive.
He's still alive. He can't sing anymore. That was a massive misspeak. My apologies.
It's okay. It's fine.
So...
Sorry, text line.
I don't think they're models, Scott. Everything about it looked just almost like a guy wearing a coat, but not quite like the actual model wearing the coat. And I wondered, is this AI?
What made you think that?
Just the way the head looked, you know, like you would notice the same guy or sort of a similar look of a guy in multiple different, there were thousands of them. And I started thinking, do you really think they hired thousands of different models to wear that coat? And you know, the answer is no.
Right.
It's going to be AI because think about it. If you are a retail giant like a Dillard's or a Macy's or, you know, name your whatever, even Target, are you still going to go through the process of hiring a model to put every single piece of clothing on for the website? Or are you going to start swapping out heads and bodies?
Well, that's already being done.
Yeah.
If you go in on, say, Amazon and you go to a certain thing, like you're looking for a sweater, say.
For a mature woman?
Mm-hmm. Or any age. And you go through the different colors available. Well, they aren't showing you every single. They just change the color.
Well, right.
And I mean, if we're going to go this route, and this is not an AI-generated person. But take Devontae Adams, for example. The second he got traded to the New York Jets, on SportsCenter, there was a picture of Devontae Adams in a Jets uniform.
They photoshopped it. Yeah,
they photoshopped the jersey over his old Oakland Raiders jersey.
You know, we are all going to be subject to this. This is all going to happen. And do you remember when we were children in school, we were taught the difference between fiction and nonfiction?
Yep.
With the books in the library, and we were told what is fiction and what is nonfiction. We may need to, the horse is out of the barn,
yep.
But we may need to start educating the public of all ages about the difference between digital fiction and digital nonfiction.
I think there will still be high-end campaigns for, like, the really super fancy, like, Gucci people of the world, where they will hire a Travis Kelce to wear something, and that's Travis wearing it.
Right.
But for mass-produced products, mass-produced clothing.
For the random guy that is, as you mentioned, showing you what that sweater would look like on a person, that's not going to be an actual person wearing
that
sweater.
Or we will get to the point where it's you. It will show you what you would look like then in that, theoretically.
Oh, I think that's very plausible.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. Let's go to Dana in Lee Summit. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I've been house shopping lately. Dana, I know you probably experienced some of this as well.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times that I've noticed that there's bedrooms that just don't look real. it looks like they're just digitally adding these bedrooms and curtains and all of this stuff, and they just look immaculate, like a brand new house and brand new furniture. And then you go see the house and there's no furniture.
That is so interesting, Dana. Have you also noticed the angles they take the pictures these days?
Makes the room look
enormous.
Fisheye.
But Dana, I asked our agent, like, should we stage this? Do you have any idea what it costs to stage a house? My jaw hit the floor.
How much does it cost to stage a house?
At least $4,000.
Say what?
You know, they've got to bring in fancy furniture and make it look like it, like a designer home that you would see in a magazine. And you're basically borrowing that furniture for a month or 3 months or I don't know, however long it's
six
on
months.
The market.
It's easier to do it digitally. Just place the sofa there, place the cabinet there.
Yeah.
You want to sell that house? Cut the check.
Yeah, Sam, there's no more checks to cut.
Well, you can cut them.
You guys sold the furniture. You should have left it in there for a little bit longer.
No, because like when they come in and stage, it is the highest in stuff from like our house. And
it's set decoration.
It's set decoration. It is. It is set decoration.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way in 30 minutes here on Dana and Parks. Festivus Friday at 5 o'clock. It's brought to you by Q39.
We have a ding-dong update.
So for those of you who missed it at the top of the hour.
Ding-dong, chief engineer.
I mentioned that over the last few days, I've noticed at exactly the top of the hour, to the second, in our building on every level,
you hear
ding-dong.
I sent an email. Why is there a ding and a dong at the top of the hour? Reply. We have ding-dongs running around this place all the time. Figured no one would notice a few more.
Nice.
Well played, Kenneth. Well played.
Man, he is a gem.
Can't argue with that.
John in Overland Park. John, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Anytime.
On the AI thing, I just wanted to add something. And I told Sam the name of the company that he works for, but I probably shouldn't online because this is like high proprietary stuff that's not released yet, but he showed me a demo that he did himself within seconds. I would say it was less than a minute, where he said, okay, give me an empty highway. And it did a highway. And it is like, okay, now I want to see morning traffic, and it would be morning. The shadows would be correct. He's like, now show me noon. And it would update exactly what he was doing within probably 5-7 seconds to do all that. I mean, that's what's going to be out next.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, I'm into this stuff. Like, I have used ChatGPT and Otter and a couple of others, and it's impressive. But the stuff he's showing me and the hardware that's going to be, and this is all commercial stuff. This isn't going to be, you know, residential. You know, you have this. But these computers that can do this are, like, very, very, like, just more powerful than anything that's ever been built. So,
so we're clear, and you didn't mention the company, and I prefer you don't anyway, but your friend would tell speak to the computer and say, show me an empty highway, and boom.
Yeah, it took I mean, there was a little bit of a thinking time, but it wasn't like, you know, like what it takes now to generate that stuff. It could take a few minutes, but, you know, like you can go to some of the free ones online and you can say, draw me a picture of this, and you could be specific and it'll do it. But it takes, you know, probably a minute or so to do it. His was actually doing the graphics in seconds, but making the changes like in seconds. Like he would just change the parameters and it would just completely change the picture. And my jaw just dropped. I was like, I thought I knew this stuff, but he's like, you have no idea.
We don't. You're right.
All right, John.
So anyway.
Appreciate the call, man.
All right, bye.
I can tell you the company, it's not necessarily bad news. They are the leading force in all of this technology. And currently they have released up to the fifth level of what he was referencing. I can only imagine what they're working on behind the scenes. It's NVIDIA or NVIDIA, whatever people call it.
Sure.
It's the Unreal Engine. And it allows people to go on and just through simple prompts on this AI platform, basically create their own video games that look like real life.
Well, and I can remember when I first heard about AI or ChatGPT. John Grayson was with me that day, and he said, "I'm gonna have ChatGPT. Sam, you might remember this. Write an article about Scott Parks."
This was in the very early days,
and
though.
And I'd never heard of AI, never heard of ChatGPT or whatever the hell it is. And yes, it was in the very early days of it becoming, you know,
days
commonly
after it
known.
Was released to the public.
And I remember that article, and it was only about a page long, was strikingly right. It got a couple of things wrong.
It was about 85% accurate, and it pulled up the information in seconds.
Within seconds. The only thing I can remember that it got wrong is that it said I had written columns for the Kansas City Star. I have written columns for, like, KC Magazine. But I've never been published in the Kansas City Star.
But it was close enough that it was creepy.
It was 85 to 90% accurate.
And he was mentioning how it takes a couple of seconds to load right now. They're going to figure that out so quickly to the point that it's going to be instantaneous. You type the prompt in, and boom, exactly what you want it to show you is going to look as real as life itself.
Zero grammatical or spelling errors.
Yeah.
Every sentence made sense. And even the sentences that were not correct made sense. But I was blown away. And then, you know, we had these stories, like I think it was earlier this week or late last, where we were talking about how, it was earlier this week, and it was a lawsuit that the parents had filed because their child apparently used AI to help write a paper.
Yeah.
And now they're suing the district because
he got in trouble. Go back and find that on podcast from yesterday, because I thought that was really the listeners that called in and weighed in from the education perspective, from having a kid perspective, and where this was going, I thought was really fascinating.
But if it looks this real, and taking this to the geopolitical standpoint, how do you know that that's not a video of a foreign leader saying they're getting ready to launch nukes?
Yeah. Or your political opponent here in the States, and you can make them say things that they never said. And then how do we know? You know, the opposition puts this out. You know, let's say I'm running for Congress, and a TV ad comes on. I'm watching the news at home or something, and here comes a TV ad that has me saying that I like to run around and kill people. And I've killed 3 people so far today.
Risky.
Or
Scott
say
Parks,
there's
risky.
A candidate who actually does something horrifying or says something horrifying. That video gets out. No, it was just AI.
Yeah, that was AI. I never said that.
Never said it. Prove it was me.
I mean, I remember watching, I think it was Good Morning America. I know it was George Stephanopoulos. I just don't remember if it was on Good Morning America or on his Sunday program, where he said that this is going to become a huge problem for journalists.
Yeah.
When you know, the opposition sends an email, or just somebody sends a reporter an email, and it looks like this candidate is saying X when he never said it.
And then if you are candidate X, how do you prove that you did not say that?
Because and to Sam's point just a moment ago, and it was totally 100% true, if a candidate does something, you know, in their earlier life that's caught on camera and it's horribly unflattering, all you have to do is say, you know, if there's only one copy of that tape, even though it's accurate and it's true and I really said that and I did that, and yes, that's me running down the street without any clothes on, I'm just going to say that's AI.
Why did both of our minds go to streaking?
I don't know.
Did yours too?
I was about to use a streaking reference.
That's not me running down the street naked. That is AI. Well, prove it. I can't. Well, then we're going to go with it. Well, then I'm going to sue you, even though it really is me running down the street naked.
AI can't recreate this masterpiece.
All right.
You brought up Good Morning America. At some point, we have to play Snoop Dogg and Al Roker. And I don't know how everyone came to an agreement that this was going to happen, but apparently Snoop wanted to do the weather. Al Roker's a fan and said, yeah, let's have him on to do the weather.
Sam, do we have that yet, or do we need a... just a quick break.
Chat for about 14 seconds.
Oh, I'm happy to chat for 14 seconds, because do you think the people at Good Morning America thought this was funny?
Or
Today's Show thought it was funny, or do you think they were horrified?
Probably a mixture of both.
It's funny, but for a morning show where it's supposed to be, you know, recipes and a little light, putting Snoop on a morning show is a little edgy, but we put him on the Olympics and he was the most popular commentator in history.
But was it really Snoop?
Hey, let me get this weather together real quick.
Okay, so Snoop, we prepared a special map. All you got to do is touch the map, and you will see some special Snoop cities. So okay. Hold on. Here we go.
Okay.
All right, so for example, we got...
it's 57 degrees in Mary Jane Falls, Nevada. And then I heard it was going to be 56 degrees in Stoner, Colorado.
That's right.
But my favorite is when it's nice, hot, and misty outside, 84 degrees in Blunt, South Dakota. Sliding on down to this area right here, above the average highs, 70 degrees in Roach, Missouri. You understand me? And over here, you know, we stay lucky in Kentucky. It's going to be 60 as we blaze in Blaze, Kentucky. You dig?
Hell yeah.
And over here, we got Pottsville, Pennsylvania, where we'll be 60 degrees. And down low on the go, 61 degrees at High Point. Get that, High Point, North Carolina.
He's not bad.
Very funny.
He's not bad.
Very funny. All right, 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Story here from the New York Post. Young adults who develop colon cancer tend to be diagnosed at later stages of the disease and have more aggressive types of tumors, according to new research. The study authors strongly link colon cancer in young people to obesity, family history, inflammatory bowel disease, and symptoms such as stomach pain and bleeding from a certain part of your body.
This can come as no surprise, because young people are not told and would not otherwise go get a colonoscopy or any of those preventative measures that are out there. Because if you're in your 20s or 30s, why would you do that? But I have a friend who's a colorectal surgeon. She said the rates of young people getting that specific type of cancer have exploded.
It has to do with our diet. I mean, I really can't think of anything else.
Well, obesity is one of the symptoms, I guess.
Contributing factors.
Yeah. Colon cancer has long been associated with older adults, mature adults, especially people over the age of 65. The colorectal cancer rates have been steadily increasing among adults under 50 since the 1990s.
I'm assuming this is an America-specific study?
I believe so, yeah. Guess who's due for another colonoscopy this year?
Oh, is it time? Yep.
Don't you go every year?
No, I go every 3 years, Samuel. And, well, yeah, every year, because I enjoy it. I found a day planner in the top drawer of my dresser, and I was just looking through it, and, it's kind of like a diary in short form, and it was from 2021. And I noted that on one day in 2021, it just said colonoscopy. And I'm like, well, it's been 3 years.
About time.
What a lovely memory to have.
Yep.
That was the one that I didn't stream it, but I
no,
what's
but
it
you
called?
Brought in photos, and I will say this: I don't need to see the photos
anymore.
Or then.
Wait, you brought in photos and I didn't get to see them?
No. Yeah, you want me to bring them in no. after I get my next one?
I don't know why not.
No.
No,
we
want to see
not.
Dr. Brown's work.
No, we do not.
Dr. Brown is retired.
I wonder why. He's back again.
I mean, I'm telling you, though, at these like GI places, it is a revolving door. I mean, the doctor goes from one straight to the next.
Yeah.
They must make a killing. Doing
get it done. One of the only preventable cancers if you get properly screened.
Why did you laugh?
I was going to make a joke based on your they go from one to the next, and I decided this is a
let that
family-friendly
just
program.
Let that sit right there.
Okay.
Leave that one out there.
Back to Dana's dehydration problem. Gen Z is always thirsty for a new trend. Electrolytes are the latest craze that has gotten TikTok's attention, with hundreds of recipes popping up on the platform. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, calcium are the minerals in your blood that essentially help keep everything balanced in your body. You lose electrolytes when you sweat or are sick, and replenishing them often comes in the form of a packet of powder or sports drinks. And now Gen Z feels as though they need electrolytes on a regular basis, claiming that water is not enough.
I have a friend, a good friend, who has started drinking Pedialyte.
Mm-hmm. They've started marketing it to adults.
I was like, Pedialyte?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, I buy that stuff randomly all the time.
It apparently has some stuff in it for adults.
It has electrolytes.
Not bad. Well, so does Gatorade, doesn't
it? I will say that if you live a sedentary lifestyle and you don't go out and sweat and you don't get some sort of physical activity in on a daily basis, those sports drinks are bad for you.
Yeah, because they're packed with calories.
Some of them, yes.
True, yeah. That's true. Story here from CBS News. Tesla is facing scrutiny by federal regulators after a report that the electric car maker's full self-driving system may be linked to a fatal accident. The National Highway Safety Administration said in documents that it opened the probe yesterday after the company reported four crashes, including one that killed a pedestrian.
Oh, God. And they want to put these on the road as taxis?
After Tesla vehicles entered areas of low visibility, including sun glare, fog, and airborne dust.
I mean, if sun glare and dust can send these things wild, I'm never going to trust them.
In addition to the pedestrian's death, another crash involved an injury, according to the agency. Investigators are looking into the ability of Tesla's full self-serving or self-driving technology to, quote, detect and respond appropriately to reduced roadway visibility conditions.
It's one of the major concerns I pointed out from the very beginning of this conversation happening. Sensors fail.
Apparently.
Whether it's dust
or sun glare. I love it, but you have to use it appropriately. You can't just set it on autopilot and be like, I'm going to read a book. It doesn't work. It should not work like that.
Well, the new cabs don't even have a steering wheel in them.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm out.
Festivus Friday is coming up next. We have every phone line open. If you want to get in, this is the best time to do it. The grievances coming up right after the news with Dan Weinbaum, 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. The news is next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.